How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome to Postcast as the Utah Jazz fall in Game 6 of this first-round playoff series, 98-93. To the L.A. Clippers. The Jazz made a furious rally late. The Clippers really dominated this game in the second half. It was the Jazz were down 2 at the half, and then the Clippers led by 8 at the end of 3. They led by 14 with 3:55 left, and they just about collapsed. But in turn, we head to Game 7. This is Locked On Jazz, part of Locked On Podcast Network. And Ron, right now, the Clippers have figured the Jazz out.
They have definitely figured the Jazz out. I mean, I listened to some talk show guys say that Quinn Snyder is just out-coaching Doc Rivers, you know, and I thought that was a kind of a statement that be careful, you know, because these are professional coaches. And Doc Rivers has definitely found a way to slow the Jazz, who's already playing slow down.
So, Ron, your point throughout the broadcast, solid point, is that the Jazz have not figured out how to deal with the high pick and roll of Chris Paul, or just the game of Chris Paul. He's dictating the game. He's dominating the game. He played 37 minutes tonight, had 29 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists. It doesn't even tell the story of how dominating he is. I agree with you completely on this, but the only area where you and I might differ a little bit is you keep talking about you've got to find a solution. I don't think there is one.
And you're probably right about that. Why? Because no one in the league has been able to stop him. They run two different types of pick and roll. They have a single pick and roll with DeAndre Jordan, or they'll run a V pick and roll, and they get something off of that all the time. They're going to get something off of it. And maybe you ought to bring back the zone. You know, whenever they go to that pick and roll, just zone it. Till they get out of it, then go man-to-man. I don't know. Whatever the case, no one's been able to stop it. And in order to stay in this ball game, the Jazz are going to have to figure out something defensively, I think. Now, you know I'm an offensive person. I think offense dictates your defense. I think if you can get on a run on the offense, that defense picks up there as well, and you come up with those 50-50 balls, you come up with steals, I mean, and all those type of things. But the Jazz have not even been able to get on a run offensively.
I'm going to take the other side of the story. Their offensive rating tonight was 110. That's what they averaged during the season.
The Jazz.
No, the Clippers' offensive rating tonight was 110. It wasn't that dominant. That's what they averaged during the season. This is who they are offensively. I think the question is whether or not we're going to be able to, in a pressure situation of Game 7, be able to make shots. And the concern I have is that they've figured some of our guys out. Joe Ingles has not scored in 2 straight games. Yeah. At some point, that's not a coincidence. He's either injured, which I'm not aware of, or they have figured out how to take away his shot. He takes a long time to get it off. And Rodney Hood is having a not very good series. He is shooting, I can update it, but I think last number I have, unless he made a shot late, he came in 19 of 51. He goes 2 of 10 tonight. He is 21 of 61. That's 34% for the series. That's his field goal percentage, 34%. From 3, he's 11 of 32. And let me give you a hypothesis here. In the regular season, he only got 4 catch-and-shoot opportunities in 30 shots against the Clippers. In this series, coming into tonight, he had 21. That's not by accident. Yeah. They are letting Rodney Hood shoot. And he has got to make the shots, or our offense doesn't work.
And someone who's known for supposedly being able to shoot the basketball, someone who's known for being able to shoot the three-pointer. He's made big shots all season long, but he has not been able to find the basket. Now, to argue your point, this is the playoffs. You talk about 110 possessions. Things seem to slow down.
How many? 90 possessions.
90 possessions. But you said the Clippers average 110 during
points
the season.
Right. 110 points per 100 possessions during the season. Right. 110 tonight.
Right. Okay. So this is the playoffs. Things slow down a little bit. You know, and
it, well, you think that in the playoffs, taking away the fast break, the fact that they've lost Blake Griffin, that they only had two fast, or we only had two fast break points tonight, they had four, so this entire game's played in the half court. What you're going to argue with me is that you should be able to keep them well below their average of where they are offensively under these circumstances.
I do, yes.
You're right.
I have nothing else to say.
I just conceded. I just rolled over and died. I just absolutely didn't fight at all. I think you're probably right. All right, let's go to the other aspect of this.
I thought the Jazz, you know, first of all, they just need to shoot better threes. You know, have they been able to get the looks that they've been getting all season long?
I don't think we've gotten good looks since the first quarter of Game 5, frankly. Right. I don't.
Okay.
I went back and reviewed the I was really stunned. I sent you an email today that I went back and watched all the threes when Joe Johnson was on the floor, and I was like, Ron, they weren't good, right? Isn't that what I said?
Yes.
That's after the first quarter, the looks weren't good. This is this myth that was being talked about all these open looks the Jazz were missing was not actually true. This is the most discouraging thing, though. They have figured out the Jazz offense with Joe Johnson on the floor.
Yeah, they really have, and they're doing a great job of it. They're forcing Joe Johnson to pass the basketball. We saw him get double teamed. We saw him get triple teamed, you know, on some occasions. And even when the key there is double teaming him in the short clock, because he takes so much time to get to his sweet spots that the clock's going to run out. And then if they double team him, he's not going to get that good look.
Well, here's the only good news I have for you tonight. Game sevens are kind of awesome. And we've got one. And here's my other good news for you. All right, I'm going optimistic here. The Jazz would have only had 36 hours to prepare for the Warriors. But if the Jazz win this game, our game one will likely be Tuesday, so we would have a little bit more time to prepare because it'll be a night Tuesday game. So we'll just win this and then get more time to prepare for the Warriors and make them rustier.
And that would make you happy, wouldn't it?
Well, if we're going to go to L.A., we might as well have to go to Northern California right afterwards. Right. Jazz fall, Game 7, 1:30 tip-off time. Noon coverage on radio. Pre-game Periscope at 12:30 from L.A. I don't know what your Sunday plans are. I'd cancel them. Jazz will get ready to go Sunday in L.A. for Game 7 after falling tonight. On behalf of Ron, I'm David. This has been Postcast on Locked on Jazz.